That Great Business Show, Ireland's best business podcast.
Welcome to episode 137 of That Great Business Show, posting on the 28th of April, 2023. I'm Conal O'Moran. Travis Foltister, coming up, business tips, insights and opportunities, all in a commuter-friendly 45 minutes, thanks to Dundeal.ie. On this episode, we think there's something very, very, very big happening in banking, and whether you're a borrower or a saver, you could be about to see a banking revolution brought to you by Apple. Yep, that Apple. And we're returning to another revolutionary topic, ChatGPT. And while your small business has got to learn how to use it. And as usual, we keep it simple. All our tips and insights are brought to you thanks to Dundeal Motors, the only place to look for your new or previously loved car, van or truck. Dundeal.ie.
Dundeal Motors is home to Ireland's largest range of new and premium used cars. That's why you'll find cars from Audi and BMW dealerships on Dundeal. Are you looking for a seven-seater to accommodate your growing family? Maybe you're after a luxury saloon to make a statement. We have the car for you. You'll also find Ireland's largest range of electric cars to help you make the switch. Visit Dundeal.ie today to start the search for your next car.
De Facto Shaving Oil, the world's best shaving oil. Made in Mayo, sold worldwide.
All That Great Business Show advertisers are Team GBS approved. Back them.
Now, ratings agency Moody's says that plans by phone maker Apple for a new savings account is, quote, more bad news for banks. While financial publication Forbes describes Apple's tie-up with Goldman Sachs on this project as, quote, the future of banking. Apple has $165 billion of cash on its balance sheet, and they've joined up with Goldman Sachs to offer US customers a new high-yield savings account with a 4.15% interest rate, more than 10 times higher than the US national average. So, could this herald a banking revolution on this side of the Atlantic? And maybe even provide some competition to our own hugely underbanked economy. Alan McQuaid is one of Ireland's most respected independent economists, and he joins me now in studio. Alan McQuaid, welcome back to That Great Business Show.
Thanks, Conal.
Is it hype or is there anything to this? Because, as I say, more bad news for banks, the future of banking, choose your headline. A lot of people in the US are getting very excited about this. In Ireland, nobody has blinked. I hardly saw a headline about it.
No. I think mainly, I presume, because you need an Apple card at the moment, and that's only available to US citizens at this point in time. But Apple is a global brand. It's one of the most trusted brands when you do these consumer surveys. It's grown, I mean, exponentially over the past few years. I mean, I think that they're saying there's 2 billion devices worldwide. So yes, this is, I think, a huge development. Banks, as we all know, are not just in the US, but even here, are, I think, persona non grata. I think people just worried about them. We saw the recent situation in the States with the collapse of the Silicon Valley Bank. And then, of course, in Europe, Credit Suisse, which is a well-known brand name. I mean, whatever it's Silicon Valley, Credit Suisse. So I think consumers and people who have money in banks are slightly wary. Whereas with Apple, they actually trust this brand. Now, I think the issue really will be here is that there's probably a divide between a younger generation and an older generation. I mean, I think while older people might use Apple, the phones, etc., it's predominantly, I suppose, the tech-savvy younger generation who use that and who probably are happier with it. You know, I think the older generation probably still, you know, would rather go into the bank and pick, you know, be
have there isn't a bank to go into anymore.
Well, that's the other thing. I think, I mean, this is another clear step that we're moving towards digitalization. You know, there will be no paper currency in might be 20 or 30 years' time. You know, but
do you think
it's
might even be
well.
That slow? Do you
well,
think?
I'm not too sure. I think.
So I'll ask you a question. Do you, Alan McQuaid, carry cash?
I do carry some cash. Yeah, I do.
I don't. I cannot remember the last time I had cash on me.
Yeah.
I mean, and by that I mean years. I just don't bother.
Yeah. Well, that's because maybe I've been in a couple of places. Now, it may have changed post-COVID, but certainly 2 or 3 years ago, you'd go into, you know, abroad. Actually, it was in Leeds yesterday, but a couple of years ago I was in Leeds and was in a pub or restaurant and it would only take cash. It would not take... So
and that has changed.
Well, there's a lot of people, I don't know, if you go to markets, my wife loves going to these markets, you know, these market stalls. And I think some of them, some people do have... You know, machines to allow you to purchase with a card or whatever digital purchase, but there are still some people who are, you know, want the hard cash, you know. So I do think, look, it's going to happen, and whether it might happen, could be 10 years, but I think there's still a generation of people, the older generation, or we want to call them, you know, the 65 plus people who are maybe are still. You know, that's the way they were brought up, and even though some of them may feel happy enough to change to the digital world, there are others who feel that, you know, they've always had money and they always wanted that way. A lot of those people are gone, you know. I think there's still going to be a need for it. And we've seen it earlier on this year with the Ferrari over AIB deciding it was going to close a number of branches in down the country, in particular rural villages with no other way of, you know, of doing their banking. So I think that'll be an issue for a while, but in terms of where we're going with this, I think there's no doubt we're moving towards the digital currency and
traditionally, a bank was a bank, and we knew what a bank did, and they took money in and they lent money out. In this model, if I understand it correctly, Apple has all of this cash sitting there, and they're scratching their heads, thinking what to do with it, and Goldman Sachs say, we can lend this out for you.
Yeah, well, I mean, as I said, Goldman Sachs is another huge brand. It's a trusted brand. It's a no-brainer as far as I can see. I mean, the only question I'd have is why they're offering such a high rate. Did they need to do that?
Don't knock it.
Particularly if the average rate, if it's 10 times the average rate, surely they could have, you know, they could have easily got people to subscribe at twice the average rate or maybe three times. But look, I think... It's happening. But I think one of the interesting things about this, or one of the ironies of it all, is if you go back to Silicon Valley Bank, which is a bank which was basically there to help tech setups, I mean, what did for them was run on the bank, basically, you know? But it was a run because people could actually just tap a button and remove their money. If you go back to the old days, we remember, you know, you go back to Northern Rock, for instance, you'd see queues of people queue and get their money out. Okay, it's
BBC 6 o'clock and 9 o'clock news showing
pain in the bum for us consumers to have to do that. But in terms of the banks and buying them time, there's a lot to be said for, well, you know, come in here, get your money out, rather than someone just pressing a button. And that's the worrying thing, is that it can be done so simply. And I think what really the question will be now is how this is regulated and how it's controlled. I mean, you know, I saw an interesting graph there recently where there's the amount of banks in the US is like multiples of any other major country, you know.
But that's because of the odd setup
And that's the worry. Like, and the more banks you have and the more ways of doing business, the more knowledge you're going to require at the regulatory level. And I think what you're going to see now as well is that when you're hiring guys to, you know, regulate this sort of new development, you're going to need guys who not only know something about banking, but are actually fairly savvy as well on technology.
Which means that possibly we'll call them the local central banks. Central Bank of Ireland, for example, may become redundant because it'll be centralised into Europe, where they'll have a massive oversee of that. And they'll also have the technology, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I think it'll be interesting to see the sort of the how it develops in the US compared to how it develops in Europe. Obviously, we've seen recently Europe taking a stance on digital currencies and trying to better regulate it. So we know what's going on. And I'd imagine Europe will be a bit more, I won't say stricter, but I'd say it'll be harder to sort of to do business this sort of way than say would be in the US. You know. But you can argue the other way and say, well, actually, the US is, you know, it performs, you know, its economy tends to outperform Europe, you know, notwithstanding obviously Ireland is an outlier in all this, but Europe tends to lag in terms of most things, and maybe it is too restrictive. I don't know, but I think this, going back to your original question, is this is only going one way. And if it happens in the States and it's a success, then inevitably it's going to move on elsewhere. I think the issue will be how, you know, they're obviously set up with Goldman Sachs now. Who do they set up when they go out? They'd obviously have to get someone to do it, so if they move out. But if they have 2 billion people owning their
that's a quarter of the world's population.
So you're going to have to.
And if you remove a big chunk of those people who have very little wealth, you're talking probably half of the world's wealth that they may be touching onto.
Yeah, and it's phenomenal, really. You know, I think the other thing is it goes back to the other issue as well, is that, you know, will they be allowing every Tom, Dick, Harry, Cullen, Allen to just invest in this or do this? You know, because obviously there's clear risk that if you have people who are not sort of go back to say cash rich or have loads of money, you don't want to be, you know, exposing yourself to people who could be a higher risk. Rather than people who might be, you know what I mean?
But are you suggesting that Apple stroke Goldman Sachs type are more risky than all the other banks that have gone before and have gone wallop before because they were never properly regulated? And also,
I think Apple is very clever, and I'd imagine it knows what it's doing. And I'd be very surprised if a company like Apple suddenly ran into problems. Because, I mean, I don't want to be disparaging people who, in the banking industry and having worked in the financial services myself, but I know there are a lot of people who would say that techies are far more savvy than bankers, you know.
And there's another twist to this, as I understand the model, is that this is Apple getting you bought in more into the brand because you're now banking with them, and soon, you know, it's almost dystopian in a way that you'll be doing everything with Apple. You'll be buying your cornflakes with Apple, and you'll be watching TV on your Apple TV using Apple Pay, etc.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to be talking about AAA ratings or AA ratings. Well, it'll be Apple and Amazon. I mean, we'll be ruling the world, and there's no doubt there's a ulterior motive behind this. They're not just doing it for the word profit. But look, I suppose it's difficult. It's harder for us, given our where we are in our life cycle. I mean, but to the younger people who are,
I'm not checking out for a long time. So I don't know about you.
You're not either. And actually, you know, I don't want to either. But I'm just saying that the younger generation, I would say, are far more tech savvy than we would be. But
so let us get parochial about this small open economy, as we are always described here in Ireland. We are teeny weeny. We have really two and a half functioning banks now, and throw in the credit unions. Is this a threat? Is this a good idea? Is this something that we just have to put up with because we don't set any rules anywhere anyway?
Well, given the issues we've had with Apple in terms of the controversy about...
They owe us 13 billion.
Well,
don't
I mean,
they?
Do they or don't they? I mean,
well, the court said
EU might say they do, but the Irish government seems to say, look, we're just turning a blind eye to this, maybe. So, given our love for the American corporates and the importance that the tax revenue they generate, whether it's enough now is another issue, but the money they do generate and its importance to the functioning of the economy here, I would imagine certainly that the current government anyway, the current incumbents wouldn't want to offend such a big global corporate.
We could, of course, be clever, since we were clever in getting both the pharma and the techs in here. We could attract, finally, a massive number of these banks, you know, these new techie banks.
Yeah, we could. And I'm sure they'd love to be here. And I'm sure we'd love to have them as well.
Light touch regulations, not what we do best.
This goes back to my point. You know, you have to, if you have these people here, you have to be able to regulate them and regulate them correctly. Now, I'm not one for over-regulation, I think, but I don't like light touch regulation either. You need a happy medium. But, you know, the more banks, the more this sort of stuff you have, the harder it will become to try and keep an eye on what's going on, you know, because like a blink of an eye when the money's gone. And where's it gone to?
A perfect segue, because we are relying on 10 billion of income from corporate, 10 billion net from the corporates this year, 16 billion net next year, billion. That could, as we keep saying, on a blink, be gone as well. Does this worry you?
It does. I think, you know, putting all your eggs in one basket is not very, very clever. It's interesting if you look at the figures that, like, I think it's around 50%, almost 60% of gross value added to the economy is generated by the tech, the pharma and the ICT sectors. We're only 20% of employment, so they're not big employers. Well, you might think so, you know. Most of the employment here is done by...
Our pals, the SMEs.
And the public service, of course. But if the tech and the farmer decided to jump ship for whatever reason, you know, better offer, you know, Apple offered them more money to, you know, stay at home in the States and we'll pay you, blah, 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 you're in trouble, you know. And I wouldn't want to say, you know, to say it's going to be really bad, but it's a serious issue here, you know. You can't, you know... We didn't learn from our mistakes, I think, in terms of what went on during the financial crisis, with our over-reliance on housing and the stamp duty and all. And here we are again now, and with the corporate taxes. And okay, the ministers are saying, yeah, we recognise that, but do they? You know, I think it's one of these things you're thinking, oh, the horse has already bolted, so to speak.
But what do you do? What do you do? Fix the problem for me, please.
Well, that's easier said than done, Colonel, you know. I do feel, having said that, I do think there'd always be a sort of a love for the Irish. There's not that Irish connection there. I think the Americans will always have something for Ireland, more so than other countries. And the whole Joe Biden thing, I think, only re-emphasised that. So I think there will be some sort of... Ireland will always have some sort of special treatment, but...
That's not a great foundation, is it?
It's not a great foundation. And, you know, you're, with the new changes to corporate tax legislation in Europe and you know, that's the way it's going. And, like, we're only a small player here. We're a taker, not a maker. So we don't make the rules. We take the rules as given to us, you know what I mean, as a small economy. And that's the difficulty. I mean, like, clearly those corporates are a huge benefit to us. But if things were to change significantly in Europe and we want to be pro-Europe and blah, 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 we would have to take the proverbial when it hits the fan, when they decide what they want to put up. You know,
good at doing that, all right.
Yeah.
Now, we are meant to be number one economy in Europe this year. You have been around for the 80s, the crash, maybe the techs of the 2000 crash, the financial crash of 2008 and whatever else, all the other ones that we have been through together, really. Yeah. Is, do you worry?
From just
economy, Ireland.
Well, I think this morning they released the provisional figures. I mean, I know the provisional figures aren't great. They have to. I think the CSO have to now release provisional figures, or they want to release provisional GDP numbers. And I think there was a contraction, quite a sizable contraction in the first quarter. But it's not a great surprise, really, because interest rates have gone up so dramatically. Cost of living is still a big issue. You know, okay, you can argue that. I mean, we're getting into the at least in theory, warmer weather, so it should ease, take some pain off, at least in the short term, on utility bills. But utility bills are still high as they stand. So it's not a great surprise that consumers are starting to feel the pinch, and the economy is starting to take a bit of a hit. And we're still very, as I've said, we're still over-reliant on those tech sectors, because they're still doing very, very well. We had a bit of a bounce, obviously, last year in the construction would probably still hold up reasonably well, all things considered.
But your construction could go gangbusters.
It could go gangbusters.
If they could find people to do the work and sites, of course.
Yeah, but I think construction is more likely to hold up rather than say, the other sort of sector that took a big hit, i.e. the restaurants and hotels, you know. Restaurants in particular, I mean, if people are struggling with bills and interest rates, you're less likely to go abroad, or less likely to eating out, you know. So
we hate being negative on this podcast, so you better give me some good news. Give me something positive about the Irish economy.
Well, positive is that we're near full employment, and I think that's great. I mean, most people have a job. Now, whether the quality of the job might be not what people want, but at least most people are employed. We bounced back very quickly from COVID. We always bounce back, Conor. We've bounced back, you know, we've gone back to the global financial crisis. We've been written off. No, it didn't take us that long to get back to the top of the charts again. We were a very resilient nation, you know. We really are, I think. We underestimate ourselves, I think. So, bad times, okay, that's inevitable in life, but we get over those bad times and we bounce back quickly and we will do that again, you know.
Mrs. Merkel thinks we are at work. Before I let you go, you have to tell me, who would you hire in a heartbeat?
You, Conal.
I don't think that's...
I'm serious. I mean, this show, many podcasts have we done now.
This is 136.
Not
137.
Not necessarily for people like me who are just coming on to waffle on about economics, but all the people you have on here who are entrepreneurs, who are...
I love them.
They're coming on this, and I'm sure they love being on your show. You know, you could be my Jerry Maguire, you know.
Show me that money.
Jerry O'Moore, show me the money. What? You got me at a lot. You got me at a lot. So, I'm serious about it. I think, you know, you do a fantastic job. Your podcasts are great.
I'm loving this. Keep going.
I'm sure all the people coming here trying to plug their businesses would say the same thing, you know.
Well, they're allowed to. I'd love this.
I
wasn't expecting that.
I think
we'll have you back again.
Well, you can have me back. So yeah, well, hopefully we're still in good health and we're still there's still some cash. Because we lost them. There's only digital currencies.
That is Alan McQuaid. When Alan said he was in from Leeds, he was actually he is a Leeds supporter, and so I suppose when things are tough, Leeds, they keep going, don't they?
They keep going, but I have more confidence in the Irish economy than the Leeds.
Economist Alan McQuaid, thank you so much for joining us on That Great Business Show.
Dundeal Motors is home to Ireland's largest range of new and premium used cars. That's why you'll find cars from Audi and BMW dealerships on Dundeal. Are you looking for a 7-seater to accommodate your growing family? Maybe you're after a luxury saloon to make a statement. We have the car for you. You'll also find Ireland's largest range of electric cars to help you make the switch. Visit dundeal.ie today to start the search for your next car.
Viscosity. When you shave, you want the highest viscosity because it helps the blade run smoother. DeFacto, the world's best shaving oil, has incredible viscosity. That's why DeFacto leaves your face, underarms or legs nick-free. Higher viscosity makes blades last longer. DeFacto is the best for your skin and your pocket. DeFactoShave.com.
All That Great Business Show advertisers are Team GBS approved. Back them.
Next, we are talking ChatGPT. Now, we did do this before. And before you touch that dial thinking, this isn't for me, well, just don't touch the dial because it is for you. ChatGPT is going to fundamentally change how you promote your business, no matter how big or small. And the good news, it's going to take a vast amount of mundane donkey work out of your business admin. In business, every day is a school day, and today's word of the day you are going to learn is prompts. Prompts or requests to ChatGPT, like, give me some ideas for blog posts, write a minute-long script, write a product description for my product or service. Now, we here are launching our third new podcast in a fortnight's time, and we have been working with Bobby Byrne and his colleagues at Ringer Creatives, our go-to creative agency, on this project. We'll have Bobby in to talk about the podcast, explaining how they have used ChatGPT to create some of our new collateral material. And it is absolutely fascinating. But on this episode, we have a Mary Rose Lyons of Brightspark. She calls herself a future-focused marketer because of her ability to identify emerging trends and technologies. And Mary Rose has switched her business focus from social media marketing to UX and AI, particularly something called generative AI. And Mary Rose is here with me. So welcome to That Great Business Show, Mary Rose.
Thank you very much for having me, Conal.
I don't know where to start, but let's just start. For anybody who just feels like, oh, ChatGPT is not for me, tell them it is for you and it's now.
It is for you and it's now. And don't just take my word for it. Bill Gates himself came out about 6 weeks ago in early 2023, and he said there has been some seminal moments that have pushed forward digital tech. One of them was the invention of the home computer, which you might remember.
Nope.
Hands overhead. No,
that's
no.
Denying it. No.
Another one was the invention of the graphical user interface, you know, when we could drag and drop things into trash cans and the like. Another one was the invention of the internet. And the fourth great one happened on the 30th of November, 2022, with the launch of ChatGPT. Generative AI is here and it's really changing the way we work. And it's only a couple of months old.
No. You better start enticing people to listen to you by telling them how it is going to change their world. Big, small, it really is fascinating. I am using it. And as I mentioned, Bobby Byrne of Rigorous Creative is using it. Millions, billions of people are using it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, ChatGPT itself was the fastest growing app to reach 100 million users, which it did in just a couple of months. And like by comparison, things like WhatsApp and Instagram took about 7 or 8 years to reach those kind of numbers. So I love when I meet people who are on it saying, what's your user case? You know, how have you used it? And you told me a few choicey stories, Conal, about how you've been using it. And it's just amazing.
Well, take your cases, please. And we'll stick with anonymity if you so wish for your clients. But if you want to actually tell us who or what they are, I'd love to hear them.
Yeah, sure. Well, essentially, like there's so many ways you can use ChatGPT, but what I focus on is how marketers can use ChatGPT because I am a marketer and I love also apps and tools. And I've pretty much built my business around being an adopter of really good technology that will help me do better and get better results for my clients. So I'm on this, so it naturally appeals to me. And everybody speaks about, in the marketing sense, about how you can use it to write blog posts and write emails. And yes, you can do that. But before you even do that, you can actually go in to research entire markets and it'll give you ideas on how to market your business and how to segment your audience that you may not have come up with.
And it's so quick. We're not talking about spending minutes. It's mad.
I know. Well, one of my problems, one of my kind of objections, if I may, with ChatGPT 4, which is the latest version that came out in March 2023, is that they kind of slow down the pace that you get the results at. So I actually went back to 3.5 because I actually get a little kick when I ask it a question and like, da-dum, there is my answer. And it's come out
it
in
is.
Like a fraction of a second.
M-A-D, how fast. Give me an example of something that you might have searched and how quick it answered.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, I was asked if I would put together a course about launching a product and I went, okay, cool. So I literally went in through a sequence of questions and or prompts to get the right kind of answer.
See how we're using it already?
Absolutely. So I went through a sequence of prompts to get out what I needed. So the thing is, I knew kind of what I was looking for. So I am a marketer. I am not worried about my job being replaced. Okay, I'm the controller of the AI. So I went in and I prompted it and I said, okay, you are a, and I told it who it needs to assume the identity of. And then I copied and pasted this client's about me page and I dropped it in. So the ChatGPT knew who it was writing for. And then I said, imagine you are a, and I gave it a title, Global Marketing Director, and you are launching a new co-branded card with a sports club. What would be the topics that need to be included in your market segmentation? And I'm like, okay, fine. Now, there was...
By you mean...
It gave me 7 and I asked, can I have 13? I like odd numbers.
How quick?
Oh, like instantly. But it's not the speed, it's the actual quality of the result.
As
and I looked at it and I went, wow. And I said, okay, now, can I have a list of unmet needs of these segments? And can you put a witty title on them? And then immediately it started bringing these segments to life and was naming the kind of problems and issues that people have, say, with using co-branded credit cards. So immediately I know the kind of content themes I need to put into the client's content. So it can go further. So then what I did was I went over onto the client's site and I took a whole lot of Google reviews for this client. And then I dropped that over into ChatGPT and I said, give me the main themes. I said, these are Google reviews. Give me the main themes that come out in these. So it gave me like a list of 10 themes. And then I said, so match the language of the themes to the segments I've just created. It did that. And then I said, write me out some social media, Facebook, Instagram ads. It took me about 8 minutes.
And
honest to God.
There's the F word. Do you know what our favorite F word is?
No.
Free.
Oh, the free. I love free. Listen, I always say I'm all about free and cheap.
And this
I'm cheap and easy, I'll tell you.
This is free.
Well, it is and it isn't. And it's
well, the basic is.
No, but this is what I really like about it. Okay, so it is free, but then if you want to pay for it so that your ChatGPT doesn't fall over at lunchtime when the Americans come into work, you can pay €22 a month. Now, what I love about it is, and this is very much back to the kind of the open source kind of vibe of the originators, is that just because you pay, you don't get more data. You get exactly the same results as somebody on free. The only thing you're paying for is that it doesn't fall over.
And how easy is it to begin using it? And how do you begin using it?
It's easy enough. Like, well, I suppose it's like, you could liken it to the early days of the web. You know, how easy is it to find, oh, look, I can find the local newspaper. Oh, look, you know, and you can find answers. And right now in ChatGPT, you could go in and put in a fairly generic prompt like, write me a blog post about digital marketing. It's going to give you something crap that you don't want to use, you don't want to put your name to, and that will damage your brand if you do that. However, the skill is, it's about, as I say, being the controller of the AI. So it's about prompting it correctly. And when you see an answer going, that's not really there, and then saying, like one of my choicey prompts is to say, be more creative. Don't be afraid to give an unusual answer.
Oh, that's a nice idea.
I've got loads of these prompts in my handbag. So basically, it'll do that. So given your direction. And then what you need to do is you take it out of ChatGPT and you bring it over to whatever you're going to post it as a blog post or whatever. And then you need to add in, you know, some customer testimonials or some visual or some really nice bits that will round it off and make it uniquely yours. So at the end of the day, I'm telling people who come to my course where I teach them all these prompts, expect to get about 90% of it in 2 minutes from ChatGPT, and then you have to go in and do the rest.
Which is no harm. I mean,
that's,
it's kind of
enjoyable.
Yeah, and it's putting your stamp on it.
Yeah.
You, as I said at the very beginning, you are a futurologist on all of this. Where is this going to go and when?
Wow, that's a really good question. Well, what I know to be true is that I have never seen a take up or an interest in getting on board with something as I've seen with this.
Such as? Give me an example of what you have seen.
Okay, well, ChatGPT number 3. ChatGPT came out on the 1st of December, and I was on it. I was actually delivering the last module of a training course to hospitality hoteliers. And I went, oh, look, there's this new thing that came out, and I kind of demoed it and just mouths were hanging to the ground. It was just like, wow. So that was in December. So in January, I spent a lot of time looking at the training courses that I deliver in digital marketing and taking a lot of enjoyment of stripping out all the things that we humans no longer need to do. And then I said, OK, I'll just kind of roll out a training course, and that sold out. And then I rolled out a second one and that sold out. And then I've got a third one going. Now, I'm great at doing training, but I've never sold out fully. They all sold out before I left early bird pricing as well. So I've sold out 3 training courses.
That's bad business. You should have got
your... I know. I'm learning. I'll tell you, for anyone looking, I'll be moving. The early bird will be open for like 5 hours practically. But then I've also started getting inquiries from membership groups. You know, people like the Employment Recruitment Federation. They have now hired me to deliver this training to their members. I've got quite a lot of financial groups. Everybody wants it because they know that this is not going away. It's here and you need to be on it.
And what about the things to avoid? Is there such a thing, or is, you know?
Oh, gosh, yeah, there is something to avoid. Well, I would say actually sort of if anyone's listening who has used it or is into it, like, so I'm normally listening to this when I'm out walking and I'm nodding my head. So
this being the podcast, not to anything else, the podcast.
Yes, yeah, but I'm listening to the pod and I'm walking down by the banks of the Shannon and I'm nodding my head. I would say to you people who've used ChatGPT, when you see a lot of these kind of lists that are kind of appearing on LinkedIn, you know, this is the ultimate set of tools you're ever going to use. And I kind of get quite sort of, you know, FOMO. Oh my God, I have to test all of those tools and I have to make sure I'm not missing out on any of them. What I find when I test them, because I'd be quite diligent about doing that, is that many of these best of lists, the tools haven't even gone out live yet. Like, it's just a landing page. Or the tools, when I have used them, they're not great. Their user experience isn't great. So the first piece of advice I would say is you don't have to use all the tools. We're in a hype cycle right now. It's like early days of social media, which I've lived and worked through. There's like loads of apps coming out. Everyone's in this space. There's been so much, you know, funding in this space. And now it's all they're hoping to kind of come to the fore and win. Is you don't have to be on top of everything, but you do need to be on top of the tools that you do choose to use. So choose an image creator tool that you like and become really good at it. And choose a GPT or a text-based tool that you like and become really good at that too.
What about the other contenders or the competitors of GPT?
Yeah, well, there's loads. There's other.
But they're not great, are they?
Well, yes, they are. One of the ones I love is actually, there's a tool called Jasper.
I've heard of. Yeah. I haven't used it.
Well, that's kind of more for teams. So you know the way you're on GPT, I'm on GPT, and all my searches are on mine and yours are on yours. So imagine we're a team and we're trying to work together to grow a business and we need to be sharing information. And also imagine we're bringing, say, 4 new hires in and we want them to write in our tone of voice, which is obviously fantastic and articulate. But these new people, we don't know if they're going to do that. With Jasper, it's team-based so that we can all see what the other one's done. And then you can teach it to learn your particular brand tone of voice.
Well, that's useful, isn't it?
Yes, it's lovely. And at an agency level, if you're running an agency, you can have several different, let's say they call them projects. So you can have one project for one client that's in one tone of voice. And then you could have another project for your scientific client, which is in a scientific tone of voice. And then you can have your, food product, which is in a more friendly tone of voice.
Now, did you, Mary Rose, tell me about a client of yours or somebody that you know who has taken a vast amount of admin out of their business?
Yes, I think what you're getting at here is like the time saving. Okay,
yes.
So, you know,
which everybody wants.
Irish businesses, whenever you speak to them at the start of a project and go, what do you want? They either want to save money or save time.
Well, it's life.
This gives you everything. It's free and you save loads of time.
How do you save time?
Okay, so when you think about the kind of standard kind of time consuming tasks in, say, the marketing function, okay, a large part of it is in the area of content creation, okay, and not enough time, in my opinion, goes into the area of distributing or repurposing your content. So if you've got a really good piece of video, turning that into a long form blog post, turning it into snippets, turning it into, you know, small little reels, like getting value for
it
money.
It takes so
much
long.
Time. I know.
Yes.
Not anymore, my friend.
Because?
Well, there's tools for it. Like, so one of the tools I love is called repurpose.io. And that's an AI that literally you would do amazing out of it. You connect all of your different platforms. And you will basically take, for example, say audio or video from one bank and you'll say, I want to repackage this for Reels. It will resize it. It will choose the snippets that it thinks will work well on Reels. And you just go approve, and you can either publish it immediately or schedule it for the future.
You see, I'm old school and I do worry.
You
want to
do it yourself, manually?
Well, I don't want to do it manually, but, you know, are they choosing? It's a bit like choosing. It started now on this podcast is that there are tools that will choose the best bits for you. But
you want to do that.
I'm the editor. I like choosing, and I think I know better than AI as to what people actually want to hear.
Well,
I'm wrong.
I totally agree with you. Okay, I am that cantankerous person who knows everything as well.
Cantankerous, there's the door.
However, I, at the start of this year, started saying to myself, oh, God, I know it writes really well, but I'm sure my years of experience writing, I do a lot of paid social ads, okay? I've been doing it since 2017. So I know how to write really good ad creative. So I was kind of going, I'm going to put ChatGPT against my brain with my client permission. And I did that. And then I do like maybe 4 or 5 versions of creative and ChatGPTs would win. And I go, I'll just do it for a totally different segment. And I've actually got to the point now, I'm not testing myself against it anymore because the numbers are better.
Or they, or whatever it is.
It wins.
It's better.
Well, somebody told me that it's actually a male. yeah, it was really interesting.
How can it be a male?
Well, it's tested on that. And there's a really good Mark Schaefer blog post about where how he got to the bottom of the sex of ChatGPT. And he worked it. So actually, when you get an answer, here's another really good prompt. When you get an answer and it's just not quite right there, you can say, now write it like a female. Oh. And it writes it more emotively.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting. But even just back to the kind of like, I'm better and I want to be the editor. Recently, I had to get some emails into the hands of fairly sort of senior decision makers. I did an email subject line, which I thought, yeah, that's really good. And then, of course, being a good marketer, I A-B tested and I got ChatGPT to do them. Well, ChatGPT got a 70% open rate.
And for those who do not know, that is VAST. It's vast.
I normally get about 40 myself. Yeah,
which is very good.
Thank you very much.
But 70% is nuts. Yeah.
So I can't as a, you know, you can't say, oh, I'm going to keep on doing things myself when you know that there's a thing there that'll do it better.
It's a man. Like, you told me it was a man. It's a man.
It's a man. It's a man. Okay, man. It's a man. But like, you know, like if you had an accountant and the accountant said, now, look, I know there's spreadsheets, but we prefer to do things not with spreadsheets because that's how we were trained. You wouldn't really trust them that much and you'd walk away. That's how we're going to go with marketing content, at least before the end of this year. And you can take me back at the end of this year and tell me, I told you so.
And when you say that, that's only a couple of months away.
Yeah,
you know what
absolutely.
I mean? Half a year, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, in Ireland, nobody does anything in July and August. So it's really only like about 6 months away.
So Christmas will be a GPT Christmas. Before I let you go, Mary Rose Lyons of Brightspark. Who would you hire in a heartbeat?
Well, I've got quite a few people on
this
team.
She's got a list. She's got a team.
Hang on. I've got a team. Well, actually, I would hire, okay, first of all, Ciarán Flanagan, okay, one of our own. He was the ex-head of marketing for HubSpot, Northern Irish guy, went off to the States, and now he's the CMO of Zapier, and he has this amazing podcast called Marketing Against the Grain that I listen to. Alongside him, I'd have a guy called Matthew Sweezy. Matthew's job for about 13 years was working for Salesforce, helping them forecast the future and how to position the business. He's an amazing thinker.
I love those people.
Oh, I love people like that. Yeah. But I'd fill it out with also, I'd have a whole lot of creatives from that I'd get from Peter and Una at the Indie List, because they are the source of all talent in Ireland. Peter McPartland, yep.
Yeah.
And Una. And then I would have coverage about this from Tom Lyons.
You did write all of this.
Yeah,
didn't
I did.
You?
I actually thought about it.
Sorry, I interrupted. Tom Lyons.
Tom Lyons from The Currency would be the one we'd break the story of this new product or service.
What about
to.
Conal O'Moran on the That Great Business Show?
Would you be getting an exclusive naturally?
Natch.
Yeah. So that'd be it, really, I think. Yeah, that'd be it. And me, obviously.
But of course. So you are going to come back in 6 odd months.
I'd love to.
And you are going to tell us about the adoption, because it is so
rapid.
Back to just a final for anybody who wants to. Where do they even start? You go and you Google.
OpenAI.com.
And that will
bring you into OpenAI, which is an open source. Okay, so kind of sort of like the good guys, an open source website. And there you will see a thing saying try ChatGPT. So you click that, you sign up. They don't do anything awful with your data or anything like that. We're talking Web3 here, not Web 2.0. And basically you just type in some questions and it's amazing. And there's so many user cases, like there's code, there's medicine, science. I'm just talking about good old content marketing.
But it's for everything and everybody.
Everything and everybody.
Including students writing their essays, but that's a different story. Anyway, that was Mary Rose Lyons of Brightspark Marketing or Brightspark Consulting. And you'll find her all over LinkedIn if you're looking for her. And she will be posted on the podcast tomorrow.
Dundeal Motors is home to Ireland's largest range of new and premium used cars. That's why you'll find cars from Audi and BMW dealerships on Dundeal. Are you looking for a 7-seater to accommodate your growing family? Maybe you're after a luxury saloon to make a statement. We have the car for you. You'll also find Ireland's largest range of electric cars to help you make the switch. Visit dundeal.ie today to start the search for your next car.
Viscosity. When you shave, you want the highest viscosity because it helps the blade run smoother. DeFacto, the world's best shaving oil, has incredible viscosity. That's why DeFacto leaves your face, underarms or legs nick-free. Higher viscosity makes blades last longer. DeFacto is the best for your skin and your pocket. DeFactoShave.com.
All that great business show advertisers are Team GBS approved. Back them.
And that is it from That Great Business Show, episode 137. 45 minutes of business insights and inspiration. Thanks to our sponsor, Dundeal.ie, the only place to find your next car, new or secondhand, or previously loved, as we like to call it as well. Do sign up to our website at thatgreatbusinessshow.com. And we'll send you your own personal copy of the podcast that you can send on to all of your pals. Show them you're really in touch with what is important in business. If you want to advertise with us, contact us on LinkedIn or via the website. And we record here at the Dublin South Podcast Studios, where Lee AI meant something different on the farm. Brennan is today's sound engineer. Later, Neil Horner will tweak out all our human mistakes.
Making us the best selling podcast on the planet.
So, buíochas to you all from me, Conal Moran, Slán Tomlach.